Thank you. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this toasty July morning. If everyone will get a hymnal and stand and turn to page 630 as we sing "There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today." Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another chance you've given us to come here to center to fellowship with one another and worship you. Lord, we pray that the things that are said here today would be pleasing to you and for the furtherment of your kingdom and center friends. Amen. If everyone would take just a minute and look at your bulletins and look at the announcements for this coming week. There is a listening session that will be held by Ministering Council at from 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday. So if you'd like to have some input, we've already had one. We had it last Sunday. So if you'd like to come this week between 6:30 and 7:30 here at the meeting. Are there other announcements?
Senior meal is this week, and I'll meet you up front if anybody can help with that.
Thank you, Keith. Keith, this morning is trying to show me up, looking spiffier than I do. But we are glad that we are all here together to worship together. If there are no other announcements, if our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your presence in our lives, and we thank you for this congregation, for this meeting, for the ministries that go on here. We pray that as we receive these offerings this morning, that you might use them and bless them, and that we might be good stewards in order to spread your word and your kingdom. Lord, we just pray your continued blessings upon us, and help us to do your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Are you guys having a good summer? Well, let me first start off by saying, if you look in the bulletins, it says that the children's moment is by David and Eloise Riddle. Eloise came into my office this morning frantic because she had meant to sign up for the nursery, but she had inadvertently signed up for the children's moment. So when she got here this morning, somebody said, "Oh, I can't wait to hear your children's moment." And she said, "What?" So I told them, I take care of it. How many of you, have you guys had a good summer? How many of you have been on vacation already?
Me.
You.
Me.
Where have you been?
Disney World.
Disney World. Did you go to Disney World? No.
I went to
a
U-tail.
A U-tail? You go to a U-tail?
Before,
yeah, not this summer, but before. You went to the beach.
Mm-hmm. I went to the beach before.
Yeah. Have you been yet? Are you going to go later this summer, don't you?
My family went to High Rock.
High Rock Lake?
Two times.
And I bet you'll go to the beach later this summer. Is that right, Joe? Take the Chapel Beach, please. Maybe your mommy could take you to Disney World sometime
soon. No,
you are? Okay. I bet you're five.
Five,
you're 5'2". You're 6. You're 5. Okay. Good job. Well, I hope you guys have a good summer, and I hope you, as you take vacations and that they're lots of fun. I was on a vacation last week, and I was... Okay, you left it at home? Okay. Well, you can go back and play with them when you get home, kids. It's really big. Okay, good. Since I had to do this on the fly, I should just let y'all talk. That would be good. Oh, my goodness. Well, that might be something on vacation, aren't they? And vacation is important because it gives us time to rest and do something different. I did something different last week. I was in Florida. Now, Disney World's in Florida, but I didn't go to Disney World. I was at the... Lee and I went and joined my brother and his wife at the beach for a few days. And we love to go to the beach. We go to the beach every year, but I'd never been to the beach like this before. Do you know what they let cars do on the beach in Florida? Drive on the beach. You ever heard of such a thing? You drive to the beach. Okay. It was kind of a different experience because there are all these cars on the beach and people parking and setting up their tents and their chairs and it was a little different. But what I realized was even though things can be a little different sometimes, they can still be kind of fun and neat. Ow, that would be great. Okay.
I have like 3 tablets.
Okay, well that's great. That's great. Okay, that's great. Okay, that's great. Well, I hope wherever you guys go this year that you get some rest and you spend time with your family and you remember that God calls us to take some rest and take some time off and to spend time with our family and to do those fun things together. And you have a Batman tablet. Great.
I have a Batman game where like you just like keep like throwing little like batarangs at the bad guy, and then
See, Eloise could have done this children's home because she could have just let you talk. That's great. Sophie, do you want to say anything? I don't think you're getting a word in edgewise. That's great. Okay. Well, let's bow our heads and have a prayer together, okay? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for energy. We thank you for the energy of these children and their excitement about whatever it is we ask them about. And we just pray that your continued blessings and guidance for them. We pray that you would help us all to take time for rest and time with family and time to explore and learn new things and just be together and always bring us back here to worship and to celebrate together. In Christ's name, amen. Good luck, Marvin. Where was I? At this time, we'll enter into a time of prayer for one another. I would ask us to remember those folks in our congregation and those individuals on the prayer list, but you may have specific requests that you would like to share this morning. Yes, Sharon.
Got some unsettling news this week. Artie's cancer has spread, and his oncologist is sending him to Duke for therapy.
Oh, wow. For therapy
for treatment. Okay. Thank you. We did have a couple of surgeries this past week. Jane Jones had her
knee surgery this week and is recovering and is at home. So remember Jane Jones as she continues to recover from surgery. Brandy had her surgery on her hip this week as well, and is also home and recovering, doing pretty well, I guess. Doing good. So, so be sure to remember Brandy Ward as well as Jane Jones. Are there others?
My very good friend Tracy, her husband found out this on Friday that he's got breast cancer, but they've also found a couple other spots in various places, and so they're in the process of trying to figure out a plan. But
what's his name?
Larry Idle.
Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for, again, for being here together, for the ability to lift one another up, to pray for one another, to try to encourage one another and strengthen one another through difficult times, to celebrate with one another through times of joy and excitement. We remember the individuals that are listed on our prayer concerns and just pray your blessings and your peace and your grace to each one of those individuals that we may or may not know exactly what the concern is or the prayer request or the details, but we know that you know, you understand, you are all-knowing. We pray for the individuals that have been mentioned this morning. We remember Artie and Valley, and we just pray for Artie and Valley, and we know that they are strong believers and that their faith is strong, but we also know that in times like this, it's so very difficult and challenging and stressful, and so we just pray for both Artie and Valley. We pray for Artie as he has to go to Duke for appointments and therapy and treatment. We just pray for Valley as she travels with Artie on that journey, and just pray your blessings and peace and healing for Artie. We pray that you would give them both comfort and in this difficult time. We remember Melissa's friend Tracy, her husband, Larry Idle. We just pray for him as he is recently being diagnosed with cancer, and it sounds like it's early in that process, but that there's certainly reason for concern as the cancer may have gone other places, and as they prepare now to figure out steps forward and a plan for treatment. So we just pray for healing and recovery for him. We pray for his wife Tracy as she deals with this herself, and just pray for the entire family as they struggle together. May they, in the midst of this very difficult time, recognize your presence and your peace and your grace and your love in their lives in ways that that bring them strength and in ways that bring them comfort in this difficult time. We remember our own members who've had surgery this week. I think of Jane Jones, and pray for Jane as she has undergone yet another knee surgery and is going through rehab and recovering at home. And we just pray for her recovery. Lord, she's been down this road before, and she knows what's ahead, but it doesn't make it any easier. So we just pray for her in those difficult days and those times of struggle where and just pray for her good spirit and rest and comfort and her ability to be back with us very soon. We remember also Brandy, and just pray for Brandy as she continues to recover from her hip surgery, and just thank you that she's back home and where she wants to be, but we pray that you would help her to be patient and know that it's a long road to recovery, but just pray your healing and your comfort and your peace for her. Lord, we are mindful always that you are with us, that your presence guides us and leads us and strengthens us each and every day. And we thank you for the ways that you walk with us through our health concerns and through our family situations and crisis and whatever we face. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Since I just dropped the microphone, I'll say testing, testing, testing. Before I read my scripture this morning, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I pastored several different places and worked as a youth pastor and associate pastor. And when I moved to Indiana to attend seminary, I actually went to a church called Newcastle First Friends in Indiana, and I was their youth pastor and associate pastor. And when I was hired, the pastor there was a gentleman by the name of Stan Banker. Stan was one of the editors of Quaker Life for several years and pastor there in Newcastle for many years. And he told me a story one time about how he was kind of trying to give me some advice. He said, when you print your sermon off or write your sermon, he said, you know, be sure to safeguard it. He told me a story that he would always, as soon as he came in on Sunday morning, he would place his sermon right on the pulpit and just leave it there until it was time for him to come up and speak. And he told me that one morning, someone from the congregation was scheduled to do special music, and she came up and she had her music and she laid it down on the pulpit and she sang her song, and then she picked her music up and went back and sat down. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, he said she actually had to be somewhere else, so she left the service. So when he stood up, he looked, and his sermon was gone, and he saw it driving away out of the parking lot. So he said, I got through that sermon as best I could. I tend to prepare my sermons at home, and usually I'll print them out and bring them with me, but over the last several months, because of some issues with the printer, I've just emailed the sermon to myself here at the church, and then I printed it off here, and I had some issues this morning. Which is why I was late. Had a hard time getting the email to come up, but once I did, I realized it had not gone through. So I'll actually I can pull it up on my phone though, so I'll be doing my sermon from my phone. So luckily, my sermon hasn't driven away, but we'll see how this goes this morning. My scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. Once again, I'm in the 10th chapter. And we are continuing with those I am statements from Jesus. And we'll look at another one this morning. So I'm going to read to you John 10, verses 11 through 18. John 10, verses 11 through 18. That can be found on page 1667 in your pew Bibles. And these are Jesus' words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Pardon me while I play with my phone for a second. This morning we are continuing, as I said, with that series that looks at those I am statements. Those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago heard me talk about Jesus saying, I am the gate, or I am the door. And within that same discourse, in that same chapter, Jesus also mentions that he is the good shepherd. Now, there may be no better picture of Christ that we can think about or dwell upon than that of the Good Shepherd. Worry, anxiety, fear crop into our lives, into our heads very easily. But that, this image of the Good Shepherd is one that we can reflect upon and think upon to give us strength and encouragement. This morning, I want us to first look at the background of this imagery of the shepherd in the Old Testament. Then I want us to look at three ways in which Jesus shows that he is the Good Shepherd. You see, he shows us that he knows his sheep, that he protects his sheep, and that he provides for his sheep. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, sheep and shepherds were a large part of that culture, of that Mediterranean world, and they were especially so during biblical times. For us, they're probably a lot like cars. We see cars, we have cars in our driveway, we drive up and down the road, there are cars everywhere. We're used to seeing cars all the time. People in that culture were used to seeing sheep all the time. They were common themes in the lives of the individuals during those times. If you read in the Old Testament about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and his brothers and David and his brothers, they were all shepherds. And there's a long list of others. Sheep were literally everywhere. These sheep were important for their sustenance as a main source of food, though only those who were wealthy could afford to eat sheep regularly. But the sheep were not just eaten, they were also used for sacrifices. Sheep were often used in the Old Testament as part of the sacrifice for the alleviation of sin. And they were used, in fact, God commanded that the first fruits, the firstborn, would be sacrificed to God. And they weren't just eaten or sacrificed, but they had all kinds of uses. Sheepskin was turned into containers for wine and water, for clothing, coverings, and parchments to write upon. Sheep bones and horns were made into writing utensils. Sheep were literally everywhere. They were a part of life. You couldn't get away from them. So as the crowd was listening to Jesus that day, they would have immediately known what he meant when he spoke of sheep and a shepherd. It might be if I said to you something about a teacher or a banker or a doctor, there's certainly images that pop into your mind as you hear those terms and think about those professions. So it's not so strange that when God uses the metaphor of a sheep and a shepherd in reference to his people and himself throughout the Old Testament, Jesus didn't do this out of the blue. Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, did this time and time again. And any Jewish man or woman listening to Jesus would have had those scriptures going through their minds. They would have thought of the 23rd Psalm, which we often do when we hear about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. And we may recite that in our own minds as we hear that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Or perhaps the people, when they heard it, they reflected upon the prophet Micah, who said, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in a pasture. A noisy multitude of men. Ezekiel wrote, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. I will be your shepherd, declares Yahweh. God declares, me and me alone, I will be your shepherd. So Jesus says the same thing twice. I am the good shepherd. And it evokes the language of God and the title of God. Not just the title, but the very name and nature of God himself. So if they were hearing it in their context, what they would have heard is, the good shepherd I am. The bold assertion that can't be missed in these I am statements. Time and time again through those statements in John, Jesus identifies himself with Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament scriptures, the one and only true God. So Jesus is the fulfillment of those shepherd texts. He is God in the flesh, coming to gather his people and shepherd them for all eternity. What makes Jesus the good shepherd? He gives us three marks in this text. He knows his sheep, he protects his sheep, and he provides for his sheep. As I mentioned previously, when shepherds would gather their sheep together in sheepfolds, especially when they were in a communal area, they would oftentimes stay together at night. And that sheepfold would oftentimes be a circular rock formation that was high enough for the sheep that they couldn't jump out. And just to make sure, they would often put brambles or thorns on top of those rocks so that, again, the sheep couldn't get out and the thieves couldn't get in and steal the sheep. The shepherd, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, would serve often as the door. He would often lie in front of that opening where the sheep would come and go so that the sheep couldn't get out and no one else could get in. So multiple flocks might spend the night together. In the morning, the shepherd would come and he would call for his sheep. And the sheep could recognize his voice and understand that that was their shepherd and they would follow. You had to separate those sheep. That's what I find interesting as you read that story. Often the shepherd, just by the sound of his voice, the tone of his voice, the words that he said or the whistle that he made, the sheep would recognize him. Now, I have two dogs which respond pretty well to the sound of my voice. And they might be out in the backyard and I need to call them in, and so I'll go out and I'll call them, and they typically come very quickly. It's interesting that my mother-in-law or Leanne or Allison or Emily might need to get them in for some reason, and they'll usually come when they call, but not always. Or if they're distracted, like barking at a dog that's in my neighbor's yard, they'll ignore the rest of them completely. But there's something about my tone and my voice that they recognize, okay, playtime's over, we better get inside now. They recognize my voice and they recognize the tone of my voice. And it's much like that for the sheep. They would understand and recognize the tone of their shepherd. They knew him and he equally knew them. I read part of Ezekiel 34 earlier that talks about the Lord being the great shepherd. But further on in that chapter 34, Ezekiel says this, writes this, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. You see, God knows his sheep, and he knows their condition. He knows whether they're lost or straying. He knows if they're weak. And that knowledge allows him to apply the right care. He knows when his sheep are prone to wander, so he sets his eyes upon them. He knows which sheep are sluggish, and he prods them. He knows which sheep are weak, and he treats them more gently. If we think about it, there's great comfort in this. The good shepherd, the better shepherd, knows his flock. The better he knows it, the better he can care for it. Christ knows each of us. Now, I don't know if any of you have been shepherds. I would venture to guess that some of you have kept sheep from time to time. I know that we have dairy farmers and cattle farmers and goat farmers and chicken farmers. So a lot of you have cared for a lot of livestock. But you've also cared for children. And oftentimes our flock are our kids. And as a parent, you know that your children are all the same in some ways, but also each very unique. And no matter how different they are, all of our children have our love. You can correct one child with just a look, but another child isn't fazed by a look. Some are tender, some are stubborn, some are hurting, some seem never to get hurt. All of the knowledge that we have, all the intimate knowledge that we have of our children and of our grandchildren, help us better to care for them and to parent them. Christ is the Good Shepherd and knows his sheep thoroughly. There's nothing about you that he does not know, from the greatest to the slightest, from the most obvious to what you think might be the most hidden. He knows it all. In fact, Christ knows us better than we know ourselves. This is where I find great comfort as a pastor. Because Christ knows everything about me, he knows everything about you, and he knows how to comfort. Even in those times where, as a pastor, as a shepherd, we may fall short, we know that God is in control. He knows our weakness and he knows our vulnerability. Also think about, as I thought about this passage, reflected on Psalm 139, where David, also a shepherd, says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." And he goes on to say, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." What else could we want than to know that Christ knows us so well, and that he promises to be with us, to hem us in before and behind us, to safeguard us, and to speak to us in times of weakness. Wherever we go, Christ is with us. He surrounds us. He never abandons us because he knows us. He knows that we are weak and that we need a shepherd. As a good shepherd, he showed what lengths he would go to for the eternal protection of his sheep. The good shepherd protects his sheep with his very life. And that's the ironclad guarantee. He proved himself in the costliest of ways. He knew our greatest need. Now, it wasn't uncommon in that time for a shepherd, for the owner of the sheep, to hire someone to take care of his sheep. Because, as most of you know, taking care of livestock, it's a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job. And so, if the shepherd couldn't be there all the time, he would often hire someone to help take care of his sheep. But too often, if difficulty came, if animals tried to attack, if robbers tried to steal, if things got too difficult, that hireling, that person that was hired, might just flee. He might abandon the sheep. They're not theirs. But Jesus keeps saying, I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. He dies for his sheep because they are his. Now Jesus says that he, as the good shepherd, will be sacrificed for all the sheep. It's this monumental love that moves him to give his life for us. He is the shepherd who loves his sheep and is willing to sacrifice his own life. And finally, as we think about how God provides, think about that last verse of Psalm 23. The context that the Lord is our shepherd. And that final statement begins with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Surely, it's a guarantee. God provides goodness and mercy and blessing and forgiveness to us. That is the possession of the sheep all the days of their lives. These graces follow God's sheep everywhere they go. You can't shake them. Do you think he just doesn't know what you need? Or he can't provide? Or he doesn't know this? Whatever it is, we begin to worry and fret. That's why the scripture so many times talks to us about not being anxious. Jesus gives so many object lessons along these lines. When giving the Sermon on the Mount, with his sheep gathered there before him, he reminds them, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about what you will eat or wear. The Lord clothes the grass of the field. He feeds the sparrows. He provides. See, God provides time and time again. When the light of God's countenance shines upon us, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. You can't shake them. You can't doubt them. You can wonder, but they're following you. The Lord knows what we need often before we do. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. It's a promise that's evidenced in his great provision in sacrificing himself for us. He provides for us now and forevermore. You see, Jesus, as that good shepherd, desires for us to lay down and rest in green pastures. It's good to remind ourselves of that. Do you allow yourself to rest at his feet? You know him as the good shepherd who knows you through and through, loves you, protects you, and provides for you. Friends, we can lay down in the green pastures as he restores our soul. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, forever and ever. He is the good shepherd. His voice is worth listening to. And he is worth following. stand together and sing hymn number 84, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, hymn 84, and we'll be singing verses 1 and 4. Stand. That we listen for your voice and we respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.